Humane Nature is an animal tourism podcast with discussions of animal abuse, injury, and medicine. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, travelers, and welcome back to Humane Nature. I am really excited for this episode today. It's going to be a little bit different than usual. I'm feeling a little extra spooky because of Halloween coming up. And my big boy Loki just turned 3. So I thought I would celebrate my spooky boy's birthday and Halloween by giving you a slightly different episode. So instead of talking about specific animal tourism or a destination, we're going to talk about the history of black cats and Halloween and how it impacts black cats today around the world. And this episode will actually be coming out to the public, so a little early for my patrons, but out in the public on International Cat Day. So, yay! I didn't even plan that. That's awesome. So there are stories and superstitions about black cats from all over the world. It is not just an American thing. Some places swear they are bad luck, while others swear they are actually good luck. The color black itself holds very negative connotations and feelings around the world, such as grief, fear, evil, and the unknown. And this sometimes carries into people's underlying feelings about black cats without them even realizing. And many of these superstitions about black cats from hundreds of years ago are carried on today and can continue to endanger black cats. So there are far fewer instances that I could find of black cats meaning good luck around the world. So we are going to talk about that real quick. The belief that black cats are actually lucky is generally more recent, dating back to the mid-1800s, though there are a few stories earlier than that of black cats bringing good fortune. And black cats are mostly associated with bad omens throughout Europe. Bastet, or Bast, the black cat goddess, I really hope I'm saying that properly, the black cat goddess in Egypt, was worshipped as a warrior goddess of the sun. So this was obviously before the mid-1800s. In Germany, if a black cat crosses your path from right to left, then it is bad luck. However, if it crosses your path from left to right, it is good luck. But I have some questions about this. Is it your left and right? Is it the cat's left or right? Is it the observer's left and right? Who really knows? Yeah, but that's what the superstition is in Germany. In Scotland and Japan, the arrival of a black cat outside of your home was thought to bring prosperity. And currently in Japan, black cats are thought to enhance your love life in some way. So a lot of single women end up adopting black cats in the hopes that it will help them find partners to be with. In England, it is still considered lucky if a black cat is walking towards you, despite overall black cats being bad omens. And black cats are also considered lucky in Great Britain and Ireland in certain situations. Though they were overall still considered bad luck in the 17th century, black cats were frequently used in medicine and home remedies. So rubbing a black cat's tail into your eyes was said to cure blindness, or another trigger warning here, drinking its blood for good health. Drinking a black cat's blood was supposed to bring good health. So poor cats. I don't know why it was just black cats that had to put up with this, but yeah, poor cats. All right, so let's talk about black cats and bad luck superstitions. According to a Norse legend, the goddess Freya, queen of the Valkyries and goddess of fertility, drove a chariot that was led by black cats. But the black cats turned into horses possessed by the devil. I'm not entirely sure when this happened or how this happened or why it happened, but that is, I guess, kind of bad luck, which is why I lumped it in with this. In the US, it is still considered bad luck to have a black cat cross your path. This most likely originated with Puritan settlers in the United States, and we will talk more about them in just a little bit. In China, black cats were thought to bring hunger and poverty, so really bad there. In Italy, it is thought that if a black cat rests on the bed of someone who is sick, death is coming for that person. And not just black cats, but I have actually observed this, and scientists have actually observed this, and we still don't really know why, but cats in general do seem to sense when someone is getting ready to pass away. I know when I worked in the ER, in the veterinary ER clinic, we had a few resident cats that lived in the hospital, and they would always congregate and hang out right in front of a kennel with an animal inside that was about to pass away. And it happened every single time. And this is not an unknown thing. It's not just black cats. It's cats, like, in general. So that is very interesting. And maybe that is something I can look into more and do an episode on in the future if you guys are interested. In Plymouth, it was believed that a cat would suck the life of a newborn baby. Like, literally suck the life out of its mouth. This most likely came from an instance where a cat was found next to a baby that had passed away in 1791 in Plymouth. And the coroner wrote, quote, "A child of 18 months old was found dead. And it appeared that the child died in consequence of a cat sucking its breath, thereby occasioning a strangulation." That's a bit of a stretch, bud, but all right, you know, 1791. The cat was most likely just curious about the baby or drawn to the baby by the smell of milk on its breath, or doing that same thing where cats are just kind of known to congregate around someone who is getting ready to pass away. Babies and children mortality rates were extremely high at the time, but cats were nearly always blamed if they were nearby due to their association with witchcraft. So black cats and bad luck got their start in early witchcraft, really, is where we really see the superstitions take off. So let's discuss black cats and witchcraft and where all that began. Written records link black cats to the occult and witchcraft as far back as the 13th century. An official Catholic Church document called Vox in Roma was issued by Pope Gregory IV on June 13th, 1233. It stated, quote, "In it, black cats were declared an incarnation of Satan," end quote. "It was thought that if a black cat crossed your path, you had been noticed by the devil himself." This belief may have been encouraged by the church at the time, as it became a source of income. Scared peasants who had crossed paths with a black cat would pay for blessings from a priest. So the church kind of started this in the 1200s. The early Christian church coexisted with pagans at first, but later labeled them as witches due to the quote-unquote competition. They began witch hunts and associated black cats with them fairly early. It's not entirely sure why black cats were associated with witchcraft and not all cats, but cats, like women in witchcraft, also had a, quote, "healthy disrespect of authority," end quote, and it was not tolerated by the church. I laughed so hard reading this in the source, and I'd 100% be killed as a witch in the 1200s. old cat women and quote unquote disrespectful women were frequently hunted and labeled as witches by the church. In the Middle Ages, black cats were thought to be familiars of witches. This way of thinking was brought to the U.S. later on by Puritans, and this is likely the origin of distrust of black cats in the United States, where early Puritan settlers distrusted really anything to do with witchcraft or the devil. Think Salem witch trials. Black cats have even been written on record for European witch trials back in the 1500s. Familiars of witches were often burned with them at the stake. So, once again, poor cats. And I think it's really important for us Americans to remember that witch hunts date way further back than the Salem witch trials that happened in Salem, Massachusetts, here in the U.S., which is like our biggest witch hunt, but they go all the way back to the 13th century. Black cats and witchcraft most likely began in England around the 16th century. An English author named William Baldwin published a satirical work called Beware the Cat, but the work was actually taken fairly seriously. It stated that all cats were witches in disguise, and it said, quote, "A cat hath 9 lives, that is to say, a witch may take on her cat's body 9 times," end quote. This is something that was believed for hundreds of years afterwards, and it began as a piece of satirical work, so that's interesting. The torture execution of witches and their black cat familiars lasted more than 3 centuries. This was followed by the satanic panic of the 1980s and 90s, especially in the U.S. Many at the time were worried about ritualistic abuse and sacrifice of animals by Satanists, though this has no real evidence to back it up. Because wouldn't this promote people to rescue more black cats rather than to be afraid of them? So the satanic panic doesn't really make sense in terms of us still having this black cat bias, which we'll get into in a little bit, and black cats being less likely to be adopted and have a lot of superstitions tacked onto them. Quotes from the Daily News, the ASPCA, and a pet adoption agency promoted this fear in the 1990s. Here are a few quotes from these various sources. "Some satanic cults sacrifice all black or all white cats as part of their rituals. I know such activity goes on." "As horrible as this may sound, black cats are tortured on Halloween time. This is a time when blood rituals take place. Black cats are often sacrificed." In reality, true Satanists value the life force in people and animals and are extremely unlikely to sacrifice anyone or anything if they are actually following the religion. And yes, it is a religion. Those that have actually sacrificed animals will often proclaim that they are Satanists, but mostly due to the fear that's behind that word. And they don't actually belong to the satanic church. They don't actually follow the religion. They don't know anything about the religion. All they know is the public fear about Satanists, and they use that to commit these really, really awful acts of violence against black cats and against other people. Wiccans and neo-pagans have also never been known to sacrifice any living thing other than like fruits and vegetables to their gods, so no like higher living thing. So let's dive into black cats and Halloween. The celebration of Halloween dates back to ancient Celtic times, though it wasn't called Halloween at the time. It was originally a seasonal feast to bid farewell to the harvest moon, or not Harvest Moon, the Harvest Season. I said Harvest Moon. That's one of my favorite video games. The Harvest Season, which was fall, and prepare for the upcoming winter. And I hope I'm saying this properly. It was celebrated as Samhain, All Hallows Eve, and other festivals with other names depending on the century and the exact location. It was believed that the day before Halloween, the day before November 1st, which is October 31st, which is when we celebrate Halloween, the veil between life and death was the thinnest and ghosts would walk among the living. The Celtic tale of Kate Sidhe, I'm really sorry if I butchered that. A magical black cat with a white spot on his chest was thought to be the fairy king of cats. You were supposed to leave out milk for Kate on Samhain, and he would bless your home. And this practice is potentially the source of both black cats in Halloween, as well as leaving milk and cookies out for Santa, which Christmas is also originally a pagan holiday. Many shelters around the United States especially do see a spike in black cat adoptions around Halloween, but some refuse to adopt them out until the holiday is passed, pardon me, due to the threat of abuse over the holiday. However, this fear is really based in that satanic panic in the 1980s and 90s. The ASPCA and Humane Society of America have both run studies that show no evidence that adopted black cats around Halloween face more risks than any other time of year. However, this is still widely believed as part of the satanic panic back in the 1980s and 90s. And even Snopes and National Geographic sent out an article, or different articles, trying to fix the widely believed myth. Many shelters around the country still hide their black cats around Halloween, despite the evidence. However, there is evidence that animal cruelty does increase on Halloween, but it is mainly in the form of, like, little kids pulling pranks aimed at stray animals and not adopting animals out of shelters with the intent of harming them. There has even been research done examining behavior of black cats compared to other colors, and there has been no evidence to suggest that black cats behave any differently or are more prone to be aggressive. And just like me, this may seem very obvious to you, but some people still hold on to those old myths and those old superstitions and are genuinely afraid of black cats. So let's talk about if there are really risks for black cats on Halloween and if they have any added risks just due to their coat color the rest of the year. Ooh, Halloween is here. What do you like to do to get in the mood for spooky season and Halloween? Maybe watch some scary movies? Visit a haunted house? Or pick out that perfect costume? I love to curl up with a scary book, but I don't always have the time to sit down and read as much as I would like to. That's why I love Audible. I've been binging some of my favorite scary audiobooks like Carrie, The Shining, and classics like Frankenstein and Dracula. Audible members get to choose a book to keep in their library every month, even if you cancel your subscription later. You also gain access to hundreds of free audiobooks and podcasts, with more being added every month. Go to audibletrial.com/humane to get a free 30-day trial and claim that free book. That's audibletrial.com/humane, or by going to the link in the description. Happy Halloween! Do you have an awesome podcast idea but aren't sure where to start? I personally use Buzzsprout to host my podcast because it's easy and affordable, perfect for a new podcaster. They help me list all of my episodes across podcast platforms, provide detailed analytics on how my podcasts are doing, and provide expert support when I need it. Host your podcast on Buzzsprout today and earn a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid subscription. Podcasting doesn't have to be hard. Join Buzzsprout today using the link in the description. Outside of superstitions, it is a common belief now that black cats are harder to adopt than other types of cats. There is evidence of something called black cat bias, where black cats are adopted less often and treated worse than cats of different coat colors. This bias is rooted mostly in witchcraft and superstition, and is the most prevalent around Halloween. Studies have shown that black and dark brown cats are less likely to be adopted from shelters compared to lighter colored cats of the same sex, age, and breed. Mixed black and other colors took the second longest amount of time to be adopted. So all black cats took the longest, mixed black and other colors, so like a tuxedo cat, were second longest. The same study showed that coat color did not affect dog adoption rates at the same rate. So this could be due to these prejudices and superstition, because we don't really have these superstitions about black dogs. Black dogs are also equally difficult to photograph as black cats, which we will get into that in just a little bit. But so that's been considered a reason why black cats don't get adopted as often, but it doesn't seem to affect black dogs nearly as much. Cats held longer in shelters are the most likely to be euthanized due to the unsustainable number of kittens and stray cats that are brought into shelters each year. There are far fewer dogs that are brought into shelters, and dogs are typically adopted out at a faster rate in general. Cats are also very likely to catch contagious diseases in shelters, even more so compared to dogs, due to their high stress levels affecting their immunity and the cramped conditions. So cats especially get extremely stressed out in shelter conditions. They don't like to be confined to a small area. They don't like a lot of noise. They don't like a lot of light a lot of the time. They don't like to be around a lot of other people and animals a lot of the time. And that's what they're around in shelters, despite, you know, us trying to give them the best situation possible. This stress does lower their immune system. And then because they are in kind of cramped spaces with a bunch of other cats, this makes disease spread like wildfire among cats in shelters. Sick animals are often euthanized due to either financial constraints in the shelters and also to protect the other animals around them from catching it. So if you find an overcrowded shelter, you've got a ton of cats and kittens coming in, not a lot of cats and kittens being adopted out, and suddenly you have a few very, very sick cats that the shelter can't really afford to treat, they're going to be the ones who gets put down. And unfortunately, a lot of the times these are the cats that have been in the shelter the longest, and black cats have the highest potential to being those cats who have been in the shelter the longest, being put in the situation. Black animals are also more difficult to photograph, so online adoptions occur less often in both black dogs and cats. But in person, in shelters, black dogs are adopted at a much higher rate than black cats. A study also suggests that humans have a more difficult time reading emotions on black cats' faces, leading them to connect with them less emotionally or less frequently, or as intensely compared to lighter colored cats. And this is a kind of first meeting, first observation without allowing, this was a study, without allowing the subject to get to really know the cat. So this was just by them basically walking through a shelter and just glancing at different cats. And they had a much more difficult time connecting emotionally on a first sight basis with black cats. In recent years, the gap between black cat adoptions and other cat adoptions has actually become smaller due to more people knowing about their lower adoption rates and the black cat bias and wanting to help by specifically going to adopt a black cat. And although I didn't go to the shelter with the intention of adopting specifically a black cat, I did go to the shelter knowing I wanted just a cat, and we knew that we would be adopting a cat that day, and we saw Loki and his giant cat Glory. He's 18 and a half pound, very, very large cat. He's a little overweight. He's got a little bit of that love weight on him, but he's not like an obese cat. So he's just extremely large. I know a lot of you follow me on Instagram, and I frequently post pictures of him on Instagram and Twitter. So he's my buddy, and we connected with him immediately. So we knew he was the one for us. And in case you didn't know, October is actually Black Cat Awareness Month to help dispel historical rumors and superstitions about them. And again, I adopted my own black cat, Loki, from the Seattle Humane Society the day after Halloween last year. So his gotcha day is coming up, and he is my spooky boy because we got him on Halloween. As black cats are already less likely to be adopted and time in shelters are directly associated with stress and illness in cats, shelters really should not limit the amount of time black cats are available for adoption. In fact, a lot of pet awareness like companies and programs like the ASPCA really want shelters to promote the adoption of black cats in the month of October to help them become adopted rather than hiding them away, because they are less likely to be adopted, so they should be listed at the top of the page for like available adoptable cats. Maybe you have like a half price black cat adoption event if you work at a shelter. Any of those things would really, really benefit and help aid the adoption of cats. And finally, let's do some black cat fun facts. Black cats were worshipped as gods in ancient Egypt due to their association with the goddess Bastet, who we mentioned at the beginning of this episode. They were thought to watch over crops, women, and children, and they were fitted with jewelry and treated like royalty. And I think all cats should be treated like royalty, and I definitely treat Loki like the king that he is. There are actually 22 breeds of black cats. The Bombay cat was created in the 1950s by crossing a black American shorthair with a sable Burmese cat. And this cat is meant to look like a miniature Black Panther. They're really, really cool. The Bombay is the only cat that is always solid black. So all these other, the 21 other breeds of black cats are various species that can come in all black, but they're not always all black. Black is actually the most dominant fur color in terms of genetics. So this means that there are more black cats out there with black fur. There are more cats out there with black fur than any other color. This can be mixed black with other colors, all black, whatever. But there are more cats out there with black somewhere on them compared to any other color. In comparison, the most dominant coat pattern is tabby. However, the black fur gene outcompetes the tabby gene. However, if your cat also has the tabby gene, a lot of the times if they are laying in the sun and the sun is kind of going through their fur, you will be able to see those tabby stripes. And Loki doesn't have those, but it is very, very cool to see. Black cats who are in the sun frequently can actually change color. The sunlight actually breaks down the black pigment, turning it a dark brown or like a rusty red color. And Loki even appears a very like dark red when he basks in the sun. And it's something I really, really love about him. Most black cats have yellow eyes, again, due to genetics. The excess melanin that's in their fur also causes their eyes to appear yellow or coppery. Black cats with blue or green eyes are very rare, and they're so beautiful. So Loki actually has mostly yellow eyes, but around the outside of his eyes are kind of green. So he's got very, very special eyes. The genetic mutation that causes the black fur can also protect them from certain diseases. This mutation also appears on the same gene in humans that causes diseases such as certain cancers, Alzheimer's, and HIV. So black cats are often used in genetic research for these diseases as well. And finally, I thought this would be really fun to end this episode on. I have a list of some famous black cats. A cat named Luck, who is a very pampered black Persian, was guarded around the clock by King Charles I's guard, as he thought the cat would bring him good luck, hence his name. When the cat died, King Charles I was arrested the next day and beheaded 2 years later. Was this a coincidence? Maybe cats really are good luck. Trixie, the black and white tuxedo cat, famously broke into the Tower of London where his owner, the Earl of Southampton, was imprisoned. No one ever figured out how she was getting into the tower or into his cell at the top of the tower, but she continued to do this for years until he was released. Felicette, a black and white tuxedo cat rescued from the streets in Paris in the 1960s, became the first cat in space in 1963. Felicette made it back to Earth, unlike the first dog in space, who was unfortunately left there. I read multiple sources that said different things, so I'm not entirely sure if she survived the trip after coming back, if she survived any like testing that they did on her, or if she lived like a nice, happy, long life, because I read sources saying both, so we don't really know, but she's traveled further than I ever will. An 18th century trickster named Gustavus Catterfelto traveled around with a group of black cats that he called the Doctor's Devils, that he claimed to have enchanted. In reality, he was really using static electricity with the cats, and he would cause them to like shock onlookers, and they could see, like, you know, those little sparks coming out, especially because of their black fur. Nikola Tesla, who famously used static electricity for his later innovations, also got his ideas from his childhood cats many, many, many years later. Lucky Tommaso made the Guinness Book of World Records after his owner left 10 million euros to him after her death. Of course, there are the famous black cats in film and TV. There is Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Binks from Hocus Pocus, and the unnamed black cat in Breakfast at Tiffany's, Sylvester from the Looney Tunes, and Star Trek's Isis, and many, many more. Finally, there is an all-black cat cafe in Tokyo. It is the only cat cafe in the world that has only black cats, and it sounds really, really cool, but be sure to listen to my episode on animal cafes before you visit any animal cafes out there. There are some better than others. That is episode 9. It will help you kind of decipher which animal cafes are good to visit and which are maybe not so much. Special thanks to Chris Hart for sending me his and Haley Jones's research paper on black cat bias that was blocked by a paywall, those pesky paywalls. And remember to follow me on Instagram for photos of this episode and lots of photos of Loki, as well as Facebook and Twitter, all at Stumble Safari. Be sure to leave a 5-star review and follow Humane Nature wherever you are listening to this podcast. And have a very happy Halloween and International Cat Day. Thank you for listening, and I will hear you next time. Sources for today's show can be found in the link in the description. Thanks for listening. And before you go, Humane Nature can be found wherever you get your podcasts, or you can listen ad-free and a week early and get bonus content by supporting me on Patreon at patreon.com/humanenature. That's patreon.com/humanenature, or by clicking on the link in the description. Thanks for listening.